In brief, environmental practices of big businesses are shaped by a fundamental fact that for many of us offends our sense of justice. Depending on the circumstances, a business really may maximize its profits, at least in the short term, by damaging the environment and hurting people. When government regulation is effective, and when the public is environmentally aware, environmentally clean big businesses may outcompete dirty ones. But the reverse is likely to be true if government regulation is ineffective and if the public doesn't care. It's easy and cheap for the rest of us to blame a business for helping itself by hurting other people, but that blaming alone is unlikely to produce change. It ignores the fact that businesses are profit-making companies, and that publicly owned companies with shareholders are under obligation to those shareholders to maximize profits, provided that they do so by legal means. Our laws make a company's directors legally liable for something termed breach of fiduciary responsibility if they knowingly manage a company in a way that reduces profits. The car manufacturer Henry Ford was in fact successfully sued by stockholders in 1919 for raising the minimum wage of his workers to $5 per day. Our blaming of businesses also ignores the ultimate responsibility of the public for creating the conditions that let a business profit through hurting the public. It is the public, either indirectly or through its politicians, that has the power to make destructive environmental policies unprofitable and illegal, and to make sustainable environmental policies profitable. The public can do that by suing businesses for harming them, as happened after the Exxon Valdez and Bhopal disasters, by preferring to buy sustainably harvested products, by making employees of companies with poor track records feel ashamed of their company and complain to their own management, by preferring their governments to award valuable contracts to businesses with a good environmental track record, and by pressing their governments to pass and enforce laws and regulations requiring good environmental practices. In turn, big businesses can exert powerful pressure on their suppliers that might ignore public or government pressure. For instance, after the U.S. public became concerned about the spread of mad cow disease, and after the U.S. government's Food and Drug Administration introduced rules demanding that the meat industry abandon practices associated with the risk of spread, meat packers resisted for 5 years, claiming that the rules would be too expensive to obey. But when McDonald's Corporation made the same demands after customer purchases of its hamburgers plummeted, the meat industry complied within weeks. The public's task is to identify which links in the supply chain are sensitive to public pressure. For instance, McDonald's, Home Depot, and Tiffany, but not meatpackers, loggers, or gold miners. Some listeners may be disappointed or outraged that I place the ultimate responsibility for business practices harming the public on the public itself. I also assign to the public the added costs, if any, of sound environmental practices, which I regard as normal costs of doing business. My views may seem to ignore a moral imperative that businesses should follow virtuous principles, whether or not it is most profitable for them to do so. I instead prefer to recognize that throughout human history, in all politically complex human societies in which people encounter other individuals with whom they have no ties, government regulation has arisen precisely because it was found to be necessary for the enforcement of moral principles. To me, the conclusion that the public has the ultimate responsibility for the behavior of even the biggest businesses is empowering and hopeful, rather than disappointing. Businesses have changed when the public came to expect and require different behavior. To reward businesses for behavior that the public wanted, and to make things difficult for businesses practicing behaviors that the public didn't want. I predict that in the future, just as in the past, changes in public attitudes will be essential for changes in businesses' environmental practices.